This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in, sit on and down. It's time for a live Q&A. Yes, it's Wednesday already. as you can tell, I've just slapped together the same thumbnail I used last time. It's just my big and bold live Q&A because I just haven't had time to put together another more detailed one because it's busy for me. I'm actually really busy lately. My Wednesdays and Sundays are all pretty much fully booked up now for like the next 2 months. Or at 9 o'clock, I'm on somebody else's channel or podcast talking about whatever it is they want to ask me. So I'm actually getting a big backlog of like videos right now. I think I've got like 3 or 4 already lined up, ready to be released later in the month. And it's actually probably a good thing. It's working out quite well because I do want to make a lot of content backed up, ready to release to you guys so I can take more days off to write instead. So it's actually working out quite well in terms of having this full schedule, but it does mean I don't have time to prepare like a proper thumbnail for this live Q&A, which I do immediately afterwards, because, you know, Lord knows I am busy all throughout the daytime just being a father of two children, you know, who are at home with me. I just don't have time during the day to figure this out and suss it all out and get it all kind of ready for the night. So I kind of haphazardly slap these shows together these days on Wednesdays. But I find I actually kind of enjoy these off-the-cuff live Q&As that have no plan, because it means I'm actually just literally answering your guys' questions and I'm not just monologuing for the first half all the time. Though I'm not going to stop doing those shows in the future. But right now, while I have this packed schedule, the holiday season, shall we say, you're probably going to get more of this, so get used to it. It's my channel. I'll half-ass it if I want to. So yeah, get your questions in, guys. You've got me for a little bit. Before I do start the show properly, I'm just going to take a very quick commercial break, because I do just need to go give this extremely fast charging cable I robbed off my wife back to her, so she also can have her phone for the evening. But in the meantime, I'll play you guys an advert, and why not play the Christmas advert for the book while we're here.
This Saturnalia, imagine a world where the truth was accessible and relatable. Where red baubles on a Nimrod phallus are forever changed. A solstice celebration where conspiracy and intrigue carry you away. Experience The Nephilim Looked Like Clowns, the perfect book for your weird way of life. Direct from Europe, this highly rated research has warmed the hearts of millions in time for the frosty season. Be inspired by timeless biblical questions such as, what the hell is Satan's problem? Ham did what to Noah? Was the pre-flood world really that bad? And if classic questions aren't your thing, and you prefer your Yuletide to be extra occult, take a trip to the unknown with the spine-chilling Hatman to the psychedelic realm of demonic jesters. You'll get 20 obscure and tantalizing chapters. No other book gives you the feeling of pure vindication towards your childhood fear of clowns. Each paragraph brings the wonder of Christ's sacrifice into your home. For this commercialized nonsense holiday, there's no greater gift for your family than a guide to effective spiritual warfare. Order now and get that edgelord of a teenage child of yours to Christ this winter. Sometimes in this little season, it takes clowns to get them there. To get your copy, do not call the number on screen, which is being used as a placeholder reminder of a bygone time. And don't send a check to any P.O. box, because this is not the 90s anymore. Simply type in The Nephilim Look Like Clowns on Amazon to get your copy just in time to lock yourself away from the world and wait out the pagan festivities.
And we're back. There we go. Hope you enjoyed that little Christmas-themed commercial. I won't call it a Christmas commercial necessarily. It's certainly not selling Christmas to you. But yes, get yourself a copy of The Nephilim Like Clowns if you want to. If you want an extra special gift for that loved one, you can always get a signed copy from me personally. Just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and you can get yourself either a paperback or a hardcover. And I'll give it a quick message, a personal note, and a signature, and send it off in the post to wherever you are in the world. No worries off limits, though some prices may vary based on just how far away you are exactly and just how expensive it's going to be. But it generally tends to be around £50 for the paperback, £60 for the hardcover. But I'm thinking, because it is the holiday season, I'm going to lower that price for this batch here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 left of this one. I'll knock it down. I'll do £40 for the paperback and I'll do £50 for the hardcover instead, just up until January. So for the December, that's the deal, guys, because I only get one batch a month anyway. So it's just this batch. That's it. So if you do want to get that offer while it still stands, just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. £10 off of each hardcover or paperback, and I'll sign it for you and send it to wherever you are. So there we go. There's my opening pitch. But yeah, guys, I've actually been talking to someone called, he goes by the name Solar Man. He has a channel, I think it's at Solar Bodman, I think is the name. And he invited me onto his channel just to do my thing, just to talk. And it was a really fun conversation. He had a lot of questions. He has a very high energy individual, and it was a good talk. So hopefully if I can get a copy of that, I'll release it. But it was actually filmed on my phone. It was very strange. I had to set this up on this little mechanism I quickly whipped together, just finding any odd loose and ends attachments I had, because I lived that photography, wedding photographer life a few years ago. So I have luckily some stuff, you know, and I had it all set up here in front of me while I was filming it. And it was an interesting talk. It was live on his channel. But that's why I'm late. That's why I'm doing this late. And that's why I've obviously don't really have anything planned, because I've just come off the back of that. And it's one of those streams where a lot of things just kept going wrong. At one point, he asked me this question about why demons, why does this even happen at all? What's the point? Is there a purpose to this? And I started off saying, you know, well, all of this really is a testimony to Jesus Christ. You know, the only reason anything happens when it comes to the demonic or these attacks is that it leads people to Jesus. And I think that's first and foremost the reason why God even allows this thing to happen to begin with. And as soon as I started to get into this point, I was about to cook and just go, you know what I mean? It went off and my phone died. Even though I had a wire plugged into it and it had gone completely dead, like the battery was just dead, but it was plugged in the entire time I was doing the talk, so I have no idea why that happened. So I had to go and get that super fast charger I mentioned earlier, plug it in and get some juice and get back on. I managed to hop back on, and then as we're going again and we're talking for another half an hour, his phone dies and I have to wait for him to come back on. So I kind of led the show. I took over, you know, and carried on as after his phone died, because we're kind of co-hosting. It's weird the way it works, but the show kept going regardless. And it was an interesting one. It was a good conversation, and hopefully I can get that out for you guys soon too on this channel, so you can see it there. But you can always go over to his channel too. I think it's at Solar Bodman. I think that's where you'll find it under. Solar Man is his name. And yeah, it was good. It was very good. I talked the other day on Nugget News as well, which was quite a strange conversation. Again, just doing what I do, what I always do. If you've heard my talk, you've probably heard my talk before, but we touched on the millennial reign as well a little bit at the start, and we touched on all sorts of things, the psychedelic world, the psychedelic community. But he comes from like a Bitcoin background. Like, his whole channel is just dedicated to maximizing Bitcoin gains from Australia, and he has over 130,000 subscribers, 150,000 subscribers. He's not a small channel, and a relatively big name in like the cryptocurrency world. And he's, you can look at his channel, and he's just started like interviewing. He interviewed Heidi Hollis the other day, you know, about the Mormon corruption in the Mormon church. And he's just gone full blown conspiracy theorist. And I think he's loving every second of it. And it was fun to talk to him. It really was fun to talk to him. So yeah, that's coming soon as well. And I was on Strange Brew podcast the other day. That was very fun and interesting. And again, we talked about the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom. It seems like a lot of people just want to talk about that topic whenever I get on, and I give them what I can and answer their questions thoroughly. So those will be coming out soon. So there's some rare podcasts of me discussing the millennial kingdom coming out soon.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We also were getting into spiritual warfare in the back end, and just the conspiracy in general, AI, and what my theories and ideas are surrounding transhumanism. It gets into some good stuff. So yeah, lots of content on the way. And again, just back-to-back interviews, honestly. I suppose there's another one, The Way Forward. I was on The Way Forward podcast with Alex Zek, and that was a deep one. That guy has some deep, profound questions, and he's got a bit of a following himself. Our very own Christopher from BioCharisma has been on his channel as well. And he usually, this Alex Zek, he gets people to his studio for a face-to-face interview. He's one of those type of guys. And he made an exception for me, and we did it over webcam instead because I can't make it out to America for these interviews, you know. And I've heard he wasn't disappointed. Like, I've heard he's glad he made the exception. So let's see how that comes out and how that's going to be too. I'm excited. So there we go, guys. That's a quick one. It was like he's here, actually. It looks like Chris is here. No excuses, Paul. Tardiness will be punished. Well, okay, fair enough. Do what you need to do. I'll take the punishment. I blame all tech glitches and issues on the Nephilim all the time. Those damn demons. Those damn tech demons ruining our good time. I appreciate your demon interview with the guy. More of this spiritual warfare, please. Glory be to God. Yeah, I had Randy Goodwin on the channel recently, and I did just upload that to you guys, didn't I, for you to see. That was actually done like a week or two ago and just released on the channel. You can tell it's old because I still have my beard in full 720p quality on there. So yeah, one second. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Randomly a sneeze just came on. It's the demons. It's the demons making me do it. I'm going to do it again. No, I'm not. No. It left. But yeah, I had Randy Goodwin on. And it's funny that conversation happened like randomly. He reached out to me in an email saying, you know, I think we can have a good discussion. Here's my stuff. Here's my channel. And here's what I do. I think we can talk about spiritual warfare quite a lot. You know, I think he'd listened to me somewhere else and thought we could have a good conversation. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm, you know me, I'm open to anything, anybody to talk with me about anything related to spiritual warfare. And I never really, I glanced at some of his things, but I'm not going to lie, I didn't do much like research on him prior, but I got the gist of what he was all about from skimming over a few things, you know, and watching a few videos. But like, we had it on the books for like a month, and when the date came, like I said, it's like, you know, I'm like last minute, like struggling to prep, find time to look into these things. So I just kind of went into the conversation, and I even said at the start of it, it's like, look, you tell me what you're all about, man. What do you want to talk about? You reached out to me. Go. Do your thing. Let's talk, you know. And the funny thing is, I checked my spam emails before that show, because I check them every now and then, you know. And I had a couple of emails from his agent, who was out there trying to get him on my channel, okay? And she hadn't realized Randy had already come to me personally and booked it himself. And she was just out there probably casting a wide net, emailing a lot of channels and creators, you know, and I was just one of them. So I'm on the list now of like, I'm one of the channels agents are reaching out to regularly for the speakers to come and talk with, you know. So I let him come on, I let him do his thing, I let him do his talk. And I think it was a good conversation, you know. I listened. You don't necessarily have to agree with everything somebody says. And I think he means well. I think he's really genuine about what he does. I think he's passionate about what he does. I really think he wants to help people who are suffering. And he has a lot of information and knowledge from his experiences. And I let him kind of share what he could and what he can. I don't think he's like the strongest speaker, but he's not a bad person. I think if you look at his own videos on his channel, he cuts out the pauses when he speaks. And obviously because it was a live setting, he may have been a bit nervous that, you know, and there was a few pauses here and there, I think. And I think I may have asked some questions as well, which he was like surprised that I knew or was going to bring up. And so I think he had to really think about it. But afterwards, you know, he seemed really happy and excited about the conversation. And I think it went really well. I think he did really well. I think after like the 1 hour, 40 minute mark, the conversation got into its swing and he relaxed a bit as well. He might have been nervous for all I know. But it was a good conversation, and I think it was got into some really dark territory towards the end. Really dark stuff you don't often like hear talked about, especially not on YouTube. You know, I'm surprised we got away with some of it. But I think the SRA stuff is something we do kind of have to talk about more often. And it's not new. Like, people have been exposing this since like the 80s. You know, this has been going on for so long now. And there are a lot of big names in that arena, but it's not something I've like. It's the first time I've kind of started to talk about it with those people and get them on to talk. And he's the first one to reach out to me. But I think I might start reaching out to other people in that field of deliverance and SRA victims and people who have been involved in that world to tell their stories. I'm going to have to start looking for more and reaching out to them and seeing if they want to come onto my platform and talk about it. It seems like I'm in a position now where people will give me the time. Thank God. So let's use this, use it and see where it goes. It's funny. I was actually, I've reached out today to another channel. It's called Richard the Fourth. Okay. And this guy is brilliant. He's a British Christian. And I think I don't know if he's like a conspiracy theorist Christian. He's not like those crazy ones here screeching in the corner of the internet. He's very, very much a British type of Christian, you know, but a new Christian. I think he's like in his 30s. He's about my age and he's very much of the millennial type, you know, so he's a traditionalist, yes, but he comes at it with a very modern mindset, which I think is quite fun to listen to. And his monologues, man, like they are wonderful. Like they are just so Holy Spirit led, but like down to earth and grounded in a way that I can just really appreciate and enjoy listening to. And it's nice to find a channel I can just listen to like that. And he's really hitting on some hard points about the state of the world, like, and as it is today. Like he really is cutting straight to the core of the issue and telling it how it is in our country as well, which I really appreciate, you know. And I don't know how long this guy can go on for. I'm surprised he even is allowed to speak. But again, with my theories and ideas around the rise of Christian nationalism being not as organic as we think it is, and his take on it was quite interesting, because he was like, yeah, I also don't think a lot of these people rising right now may actually be necessarily like on fire for Jesus or the word. Even he's like, I think he's realized what I've observed. But he's also happy that more people are just coming to Christ in general. And it is actually a rise of Christian nationalism has accounted to the problems from the liberal agenda and the rest of it. But he does seem like he understands like a level above it too, and the spiritual implications of things. But I won't call him a conspiracy theorist, but I want to talk to him regardless. I want him to come on my channel and do one of his monologues and let you guys listen. You know, because I think they're just, he's like me. I bet I could wind him up, ask one question, and he would just go for like an hour. And I'd like to do that. So yeah, Richard the Fourth. I'm going to try and get him on. I've messaged him on X. I've messaged him. I sent him an email. No response. The only issue is getting like these type of guests on my channel is that they'll probably look at my channel and go, no, I'm not being associated with this guy. He's talking about Nephilim and clowns. Yeah, I do have that issue, that barrier. And I try to make it clear in the email. It says, look, from a glance, I want you to know I am far more down to earth than it would seem, just from a glance at my YouTube channel. Okay, like we can have a good, I promise you, we can have a good conversation. So I've hope I've placated any of his fears. If anyone knows Richard the Fourth or listens to his stuff, go to his comment section now and say, Paul just talked about you in his own chat, in his own live show. Listen to him, hear him out. He's a good guy. You will have a good conversation. Don't let the weird stuff put you off, okay? He's not going to like corner you or say anything strange. And if you're listening now, Richie, if you made it to this diatribe, come and have a conversation on my channel. I know my audience will love what you do. I love what you do. And there's so many things. I know there's just so many things we can talk about. And we have the common ground of being British-based as well, because my audience is predominantly American. So I think it would be healthy for them to hear another British person kind of explain the problems we're dealing with from a Christian perspective too, which is what we need more of. And you know, that's what you get on this channel. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Please make it happen. Someone send him this. Get him to listen to this. Get him to respond to my emails. He hasn't right now. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe he was working, it's Wednesday, whatever, you know, or maybe he hasn't responded simply because he looked at my channel and went, I'm not so sure about this. Listen, Richard the Fourth, whatever your real name is, this is the cutting edge of conspiracy right here on this channel, okay? We do push boundaries very far, I'm not gonna lie, but we keep it grounded. Okay, we always come back to reality as best we can, and we make it so we can at least get people to strengthen their faith here on this channel more than anything. That's what it's really all about, okay? But come and do it. Come and do it. come on to my channel, please. But I was also thinking that afterwards, you know, Richard the Fourth, I watch, and look, I don't agree with everything the guy says, but it helps me keep my thumb on, like, the world and what's going on. I do follow, like, Sargon of Akkad and the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, because they're British-based and they cover a lot of British news from that kind of alternative perspective. And it's probably better than watching the BBC as far as I'm concerned, you know. But I followed Carl Benjamin for a while, you know, and I've watched his, like, growth from, like, atheist to kind of like a cultural Christian, shall we say, or a traditionalist or a conservative, and then going through the motions of realizing it's all just bullshit, you know, and kind of trying to find a new way through politics to implement change in the UK and not let it just fully fall away from us. I've watched him and I like listening to him. He has some very British points to make, you know, and I've actually enjoyed, like, listening to his points over the years. Say what you will about what his personal views are on things or agendas. I don't really know. I don't know the guy, but I think I could have a good conversation with him. And again, I realize the barrier would be he probably wouldn't want to be associated with a channel that has conspiracy in the name. But I listened to him be on an interview on another channel with a couple of guys the other day, and they were, like, a bit edgy. The characters are cartoon characters, you know, but the content they make is clearly, like, anti-left stuff, you know, and it's kind of, they're catered around.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That ideology of, you know, look at what the crazy leftists are doing now type of stuff. So it's very much rooted in the left-right political paradigm, and that's popular content right now to be like that. So it's not too far removed for Carl to go on that type of channel, and they had a great conversation, and they were kind of countering him a lot on his ideas about right-wing liberalism and how it's just a failed project, and it's kind of how that does exist and how we need to completely get rid of all that. And it was a good conversation, and Carl was clearly being challenged, but he held himself up quite well. And I looked at their channel, and they have 56,000 subscribers, not a small amount, but I'm thinking, like, do I have the clout now to be able to ask Sargon of Akkad if he wants to come onto my channel and share his views? Like, do I have that pull and ability yet? Do I? Have I reached those levels of, if you don't ask, you don't get, maybe I'll just shoot my shot type of stuff? So I'm going to try. I'm going to send him an email and make my case and just say, come and have a talk on my channel. I just want you to share your view. I want you to share how you see the world, and we can have a conversation about it. That's all it is. Like, nothing else. I think we can have a good, grounded, fantastic conversation that's just based around mutual respect for the world we live in and what's really going on, and how the people living on the ground have to deal with the consequences of bad policy decisions from politicians, let's say, in the UK, all that kind of stuff. I think we can really talk about it, and also we can maybe get into some meta stuff and get a bit deep. I think we could do it. I think we could. I would like that to happen, but I'm just wondering, could I? Do I dare? You know, the guy's about to reach like a million subscribers on his own channel, I think, now. So maybe not. Maybe he has to curate his time more delicately than I do. But I'm out here right now, just scattershot. You. I'll talk to you. Who else wants to talk? Let's talk. Let's do this. Let's see where it's going. Yeah, anyway, it is a Q&A. I'll answer some questions. Let's see. Get your questions in now. I'm going to try and scroll through the chat to see if anything's coming up, if anyone's already asked something at all. Someone's eating cheesy broccoli, which is good to know. People are saying hello to each other. Great to be here. Good to see some regular faces in the chat. Thanks for being here, guys. What's your take on God changes mind argument? Anti-Christian people are arguing about it, giving me anxiety because I think they have a point. Thanks. Well, Franz, I need to know what you mean. I don't have enough context to understand what you're saying there. God changed his mind argument. Are you saying like God is should be immovable and immutable and he's not allowed to change his mind? I mean, God's God. He's not exactly like restrained by that. God can change his mind. What's the counter argument here? I don't understand. Like, thank God that he will change his mind sometimes, honestly, because we would have been screwed a long time ago if he didn't allow it, you know. I think you can make your case with God. I think he'll listen. I think he's just and righteous, and I think he's empathetic towards his creation and understands how hard we have it in many ways, shape, or form. He's not evil, you know. I think God can change his mind at any moment. Of course he can. Why is Satan so dumb? He could just come out of the cage and tell the truth that Christ killed a third of the earth, not Satan. What? Well, yes and no. I mean, judgment came, and there was there was a lot of warning before it came. He gave plenty of people a chance to repent. He gave every chance for his people to come to him and be saved. He gave every single possibility, but you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Like, I think that's what it came down to phrase it as, you know, Jesus murdered so many people. It's kind of like, well, was it, or was it righteous judgment against a wicked nation who kind of needed to be judged? Like, it happens. Like, a righteous judge makes righteous judgments. The only people that don't like that are the unrighteous and the wicked and the sinful at the end of the day. And well, tough. So what? I don't think there's an issue with people righteous being righteously judged for the shitty decisions and actions and pain and misery they put upon each other. That doesn't mean to say they haven't got a way out at any time to repent and turn from their ways and come to Jesus Christ. And I think God is long-suffering and patient, and he gives plenty of chances and time for people to do that. Plenty of time and chances. Have you heard of Neon Owl? I've not heard of Neon Owl, no. I'll look into it. I'll look into it. Got any hot Shakespeare takes? Not particularly, no. We're conspiracy hipsters over here. Yeah, something like that. We're the cool kids of the conspiracy crowd, yeah. Nephilim clowns, you've probably never heard of it. Flips hair. No, it's greasy and sweaty, and it keeps like coming down and then itching my forehead, so that's why I'm doing that. Like, all I'm doing is revealing my receding hairline. This is not a fashion choice, trust me. I need to get it cut, to be honest. It's getting a bit long again. Richard the Fourth is brilliant, says Lala Lucas. So you know him then, right? You need to, it's up to, it's all on you, Lala Lucas. You have to go now and make sure this happens. Don't let me down. I would watch that channel called Conspiracy Hipsters. So I'd subscribe to that. I'd give it a bash. Sorry, guys. The chat's just kind of ran away from me massively there. Greets from Great Britain, Lancashire. Yeah, well, shout out to Lancashire. We're going to go represent it. Yeah, Lancashire's my home. My home county, shall we say. Yeah. I think the devil's argument is that if God was all-knowing, all-powerful, then he wouldn't need to. Well, I kind of covered this in the talk with Solomon. I think given a repentant heart, God can allow the change of mind. He will change his mind. It's like, okay, then, you know, I won't bring down harsh judgment on you for this. You know, I'll let it go this time. But at the same time, maybe God's like doing like reverse psychology on us. He knew that would happen, and he knew that was the point. He knew he just had to put the pressure on you to make you to get to that level to begin with. Like, I really don't think it's necessarily God changing his mind in a literal sense. But I think God lets us play out the narrative that we manage to change his mind about something, so we can understand that he's there with us along for the journey at all times, and everything he does is for our own benefit, even if it doesn't seem like it at the time, you know. And I was kind of, again, I think I said it a lot better with Solar Man, and I went into some really deep territory with this. I was in the zone, you know what it's like when you get in the zone, and I phrased it so much better on his show. So when that gets released, you'll hear me kind of cover that quite a lot. But I was explaining the journey of a Christian, basically. There is suffering. It is trials and tribulation, pretty much. But it's easy when you, before you're saved, to, you know, like, I'm not saying your life isn't terrible. Like, people who, there's lots of people who suffer greatly in this world who don't know Jesus just because the world is a horrible place. But what the devil does is give you ways to ignore it and to move on and to be distracted. So you never solve the problems that make your life miserable or do any work to get yourself out of a bad situation. He'll distract you with drugs or alcohol or vice or sin, and he'll make living in the world easier. So you're placated and never do anything to fix it. And as soon as you become born again, God changes you, where all those sinful distractions, which normally help you just ignore your problems, are no longer appealing. He takes away, he literally sucks the joy out of life in a real sense. Like, and suddenly the vice is like cigarettes, cannabis, alcohol, promiscuity, TV, food, and all the sins and vices and distractions and pleasures. You're no longer, you don't want them anymore. You don't have that raging desire to satiate those hungers anymore. He literally makes you a new creation, and suddenly it's like, I don't care about that stuff anymore. It's boring now. I don't want to do that. I'm not seeking after it anymore. And then what you're left with is like, oh, me and my mess and all the horrible stuff I've been ignoring for years and all the things I've got to fix and sort out, and my life is falling apart. You know, it's kind of, the devil has let me swim in that destruction and death and decay for so long, and I've just not been paying attention to it or running away from it for so long because he's been distracting me for so long. And suddenly God comes into your life and takes away the desire to even want to be distracted, and then you look around and go, oh damn, I've got some work to do. I've got to sort myself out, you know. And it's horrible. And then that's where the easy life is gone. And now it's pain and misery for the next 10 years as you try and fix yourself and fix everything around you and that you, the problems you caused, you know. And yeah, the God will put you through it. He will put you through hell and misery and trials and tribulations and all. And you can seem like he's forsaking you at many moments. And you can be like, why, God, why, you know? And all of a sudden, it seems like he changes his mind. And now you're his best friend. And all the blessings suddenly come after you've done that work, you know. And all I'm trying to say is our ways are not God's ways. From our perspective, what seems bad is not, you know, and it's actually everything's working towards the betterment of you, because God tries to mold you into an upright citizen of his kingdom and help you reach your full potential that he had planned for you to begin with. So when people make these like petty arguments, well, oh, God changed his mind, isn't he supposed to be immutable and immovable? It's kind of like, oh, shut up. Shut up, you pretentious, you know, like, just shut up. Like, it's not a got you. Like, you don't pretend you can understand even a little bit how God thinks and works and how he works through us and how he brings change in people's lives. Because he does tangibly change people's hearts and saves them from a life of misery and death. He saves them from killing themselves. He practically works through people and initiates real change. Okay? Who cares about these petty philosophical nonsense arguments to try and degrade his power and meaning over us in some way when it means nothing anyway, and it doesn't change the fact that a relationship with the Holy Spirit is a transformative experience and personal one that people can go and get just by simply asking, and they'll receive. You know, by giving themselves over to Christ.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And his sacrifice and believing on him. It's a powerful, powerful, practical solution to the problems that people are facing that they can experience for themselves tangibly and then have a testimony to go and share with people that it does work. And then you get these people out there who have never even bothered to even try to ask God for help on a real sincere level out there going, well, God changed his mind, got you there, you know, Christian. Like, it's shut up and go have a conversation with God. Ask him yourself. Someone's talking about anger here and righteous anger is love. That's just timely for the way I'm going off on one there. Susrando, just wanted to like you played a big part in my finding my way back to Jesus. So thank you for that, Paul. Well, I'm glad I played some part in that journey. All glory to God. Hi, Paul. With your conversations with people like Vitaly and others regarding parasites and diets, have you changed your own diet at all or come to any further conclusions regarding nutrition? Yes, I do. I'm one to experiment with parasite cleanses and stuff like that. I eat a lot more pumpkin seeds these days because of their antiparasitical nature. And they taste delicious when you roast them with a bit of olive oil, put some salt on there as well. Honestly, they're fantastic. But I've done quite a few protocols here and there as well, and I've tried my best. But then you do research, and there are counters to what Vitaly says, and this idea that actually parasites appear in the human body when there's something else that's a problem, and the parasite's job is to eliminate that thing. So people say like parasites are actually a naturally occurring thing in your body you don't want to be getting rid of. And if you have a high parasite count in your body or you're parasitized, it's because there's an underlying health issue that the parasites are actually aiding and curing. So I've heard that counter argument too. So I'm not like too fast and loose or paranoid about what I'm eating too much or anything like that. Now, I think it's good to eat clean and healthy. Try and reduce as many unnecessary chemicals as you possibly can. Avoid sweeteners. I avoid sweeteners like the plague in anything I do, or unnecessary chemicals. I try and go whole grain. I cut out carbs as well. I try and be as healthy as I can. I fast, and I've always fasted after 6 p.m. until breakfast the next morning. Sometimes I push it to midday, so I get a decent 18 hours fasting every day, and I try and maintain these things because the Bible says, you know, when you fast, not if you fast. And I think fasting should be a regular practice for Christians. And I think there's actually more of a practical reason for that than simply just because it gets rid of parasites or anything like that. And obviously weight loss and all the rest of it and the health benefits are wonderful for fasting. But I think there's also, it's a training mechanism to prepare you for bad times, because bad times are always coming. And I think, you know, I've been thinking about that concept, and imagine this, okay. So it finally happens. There's economic collapse. The dollar becomes worthless. The pound becomes worthless. The housing market just crashes through the floor, you know, and everyone's house becomes worthless or extremely expensive to the point where they can't sell them. And then that causes knock-on effects. Suddenly the supply chain starts to get affected. War breaks out in certain places. So food supply chains are getting cut. But as a result of like the things that have happened prior, terrible events, and they've only just got back on their feet. This is the thing that's knocking them out of the game now. And as a result, like supermarket shelves are now getting empty in certain places. All right. Water supplies are suddenly getting few and far between as well. Infrastructure starts to fail because of the issues that the government has put onto our systems through mass immigration. The demand on these systems that weren't built to deal with such high demand are now having a knock-on effect and causing degradation at a faster rate. Those with the skills to actually fix these things are now fewer and far between because they're either leaving these countries where these problems are happening, or the training just isn't there anymore, or these systems were built by better people than us and we just don't understand how they work, because that's just entropy. Things get worse as time goes on, you know. And let's say all these things start to collapse all at once, and then food becomes an issue. When the next meal comes is no longer guaranteed. Some real perspective gets given to people during those times. These are the hard times that make strong people, by the way, which build good times. And we're on the verge, I think, of going into very bad times. That seems to be where we're going. And what happens when food becomes scarce is people get nasty. People get vicious. People get dangerous, okay? This causes war, fights, skirmishes, stockpiling, and haves and have-nots. And when people are hungry, they get mad. They get snappy, they get dodgy, you know, and then the things go bad. People say, you know, is it civilization is only 2 meals away from collapse or something like that. And I can believe that, you know. But people like Christians who fast regularly, or anyone who fasts regularly, doesn't have to just be Christians, you know, Muslims do a yearly kind of fast from sunrise to sunset, sort of. But you know what I mean? Like, Christians who fast regularly and it's a part of their lifestyle, when that starts to happen, it's not going to be a shock to our system because we already know how long we can go without food. It's actually a very long time. You're not going to starve to death if you miss a couple of meals. You could probably go a week or two, quite a long time, as long as you can get regular water before you really start to get to the point where it's like, I better have a bit of bread. You know, like you can actually survive for a very long time without food, and actually, it's actually good for you. You're not going to starve to death. That's kind of like a modern myth of like the world that you have to have 3 meals a day and that you've got to, you know, if you feel hungry, that's you dying. That's what they tell you. That's how people really think about food. You know, it's like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm dying. I'm starving. I'm starving to death because I feel hunger. Give it 10 minutes. Give it 30 minutes. That hunger will disappear and you'll be fine again for another like 5 hours. Because that's I think it's called ghrelin, the chemical, something like, maybe I butchered that. I'll look into it later. Maybe put an image on this if I clip this of what it's actually called. But there's a chemical that gets released, a hormone of some kind, that makes you feel that hunger. And it just tells you your stomach's empty, basically. But you don't have to listen to it and you'll be fine. It'll pass. And this is what people who fast learn, you know, that feeling does go away and it comes in waves, but it does pass and then you're fine again for another few hours. And that gets less intense the more you practice fasting. Because it's like the body gets used to a certain amount of food. And when that changes, your body's reaction is the hormone release. But it's not like a warning that you must eat now or you're going to die of starvation. That's not really what it is. Like, it's just a fluctuation from the body's norm. Therefore, the chemicals are now shifting and moving in your brain to cause these feelings. And that's all it really is. But like, the world has taught us that, you know, if you're not eating, you're starving to death. If you're not consuming, you're dying. That's just not true. And you can go an extremely long time without eating. And it's a state of mind. Okay. And you can have energy as well while you're at it. You know, there are limits. You can starve to death, but the things it takes to get to that state are extreme. Very extreme to get to a malnourished state. And then to starvation and death. It really is. It takes a long time to get there. And I think for this part of the world where everyone's had so much all the time and everything's just at our fingertips and it's so easy to satiate those desires and hungers and treat ourselves, you know, I think when that gets taken away, there's going to be millions of people who cannot cope. And they're the ones who are going to lose their mind and go violent. And I'd say that's when you lock the doors, close the curtains, hunker down and pray in darkness so no one knows there's a light on or comes to you. You attract no one to you while the savages just deal with each other. Okay? And you pray and you fast. Don't go out there looking for food. Get through it. And once it all settles down, maybe you can get through it. Maybe that's what I'm saying. It's like, really we're supposed to fast because it's a training mechanism to help us survive those extremely hard times when the world fails. I think that's more like what it should be understood as. And of course, there are serious health benefits and spiritual benefits to fasting. There really are. Like, so, you know, yes, I guess that work has impacted my life massively. And yes, I do try my best to live as healthy as possible, as much as I can. Yeah. Yeah, then he promised never to flood again, but would come back with fire, I believe. Okay, so we're talking about the flood of Noah. Paul, the immigration situation is heating up big time in the US. Do you think this is just a distraction ploy or something they're using to tee up a much larger false flag? I'm not totally sure what the US's immigration problems are. I've got my own to deal with. I'm not going to lie. I know the main issue with illegals and immigration is demand on systems, which costs money to build infrastructure to support a rising population that the systems were never created to support. That's the major issue for us as a small island here in the UK. I'm not so sure what your issues are, because you're a huge country with many resources and land and availability. So you'll have to tell me exactly what the immigration situation is for you guys. I'm getting pie crust ready, but so much yes. Cannabis held me back for so many dang years. What a waste. Your video on cannabis really shook me, Paul. You just blink and all those years go by. Yeah, seriously, it is actually it's a serious problem that people don't want to confront when it comes to cannabis use. It's not going to kill you. It's harmless. It can have some health benefits. It certainly regulates your mood quite well and keeps you calm. It's a medicine, you know. But like most medicines, you're not supposed to take them 5 times a day for 10 years. What that does is warp your sense of self and time to the point where you're always in like a dream state. And when you finally decide to quit and go sober, you'll forget that dream. And just like that, 10 years of your life have gone. It's not worth it. Being high all the time means your brain stops hitting the record button. And when you're always in the now, because you're in that psychedelic state that cannabis can kind of give you, you never think about it. You never think about the fact that you have no memories, because you're always living the moment and taking it all in and here and now and so forth. And you're kind of having that.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Experience, which feels profound at the time and enlightening and peaceful and so forth. But the problem is, when you do decide to stop, you'll realize you don't remember and you'll forget everything. And that dream's over, but you're back to reality. You'll forget it. You'll literally you'll have a memory hole from the heavy cannabis abuse you did for years. The time will be gone. And you'll realize actually you really didn't do much either. If you try to ask people or look back at pictures of those times, you were stuck in a cycle and you weren't doing much. Okay. And that's the issue with cannabis. It makes you okay with being bored and ignoring your problems. It makes you okay with it. It makes you not feel like that's a problem. But it is. Believe me, it is. Sorry, guys. Let me just quickly catch up with the chat here. I seem to have lost it. Vincent Price, welcome to Super Support Level. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. We got someone's already been banned. It happens. It happens. I've been eating pumpkin seeds, link up, sunflower too. Yeah, pumpkin seeds are delicious. Like, I've been sleeping on them my entire life until I had them like a year ago. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. This is actually really, really delicious. Why have I not been doing this my entire life? For the record, I got rid of them. When did God give control to Satan to the earth, since Paul says that he is the God of this world? Well, it's not so much that he has the world given to him. It's that the people of the world have given their authority to him. So he is the God of the world because people have made him the God of this world over the true creator. So it's not like he was given the authority by God. It's that we, the creation, his creation, gave him the authority. We gave it to him because his way is easier. You know, and Satan, though he wants to be worshipped, he can do that without directly making people realize that that's what they're doing. If he can get you worshipping yourself and not God, he's won in his eyes. If he can make you think you're God, he's won. If he can get you worshipping the sun, he's won. He doesn't care. He doesn't care, really. He doesn't really care about the veneration necessarily. All he cares about is that you are not venerating God. That's all he cares about. So Satan is the God of this world in the sense that many people have made false idols and their own gods. And that's exactly what he wants. So, but I don't think he's been given the keys to the world, or that he is the God of this world, or the creator of this world, or actually has any real authority or dominion on this earth. He doesn't. He has a lot of lies, smokes and mirrors and illusions and legalese, contracts and speaking in terms, but he has no authority to actually enact any of it, or he doesn't have authority. It's that simple. And we have given it to him. We have given him that authority. We've pretended like he does. And that's the problem. That's the issue. I hope that answers your question. Rusty, that's kind of what that's how I see it. I could be wrong, but I think that's how it works. I do think lamented makes more sense, but you said take it up with KJV. I didn't write it. Okay. Yeah, my moderators are on it today. Good to see. I had to become a member tonight after the extremely racist speech about being born again. Oh, thanks, Vincent. Thank you. I'm glad you liked the speech. I've got a lot more like Christ-centric preachy speeches going on lately. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit's telling me to do it, you know, because that's powerful, dangerous, cult-like language. But I will say, you know, I'm feeling it in my own heart. Like this is what people need to be hearing right now. I think in the way the world's going, and I think a lot of people kind of get it now. Oh yeah, we're all being controlled by secret societies and evil people who worship the devil, basically. Everyone's got it now. We get it. The hierarchy has been externalized. You know, everyone knows what's going on. We all know who's really in control. We all know we're being played and that we're basically slaves. All that's out now, and like, those aren't big shockers anymore for people. There's still some stragglers out there who are clinging on to the lies, you know, but deep down, even if they're not talking about it, I think everyone knows now what's going on. Everyone gets it, you know. So what message do people really need to hear now? What truths do people really need to hear? They need solutions, right? Because the world's going to offer them the devil's going to offer them some solutions, and they're not going to be the what's good for people. It's not going to be right. It's going to be the new age religion for the new world order, you know. It's not going to be the truth, the way, and the life. They're all going to get led like lambs to the slaughter, you know, and I want Jesus. I want the lambs to be led to Jesus, to the good shepherd, you know, and to the good news. So at the end of the day, I think that's why I'm saying these things more. I think I realize now, all right, so people have got the truth of how the world works and is structured and how it's controlled. Now they need the truth of the spirit of the kingdom of heaven, of the real truth, what's really going on and what war they're actually implicated in and where the answers truly lie. And I think the people are ripe for that right now because they're looking for answers. And I think the new age shine is fading. I think that nonsense that's been preached with a G, you know, the nonsense is failing. I think people are seeing through it now. And now's the we need to capitalize on that. So I think that's why I'm doing this. It's kind of like, I just know I'm supposed to be doing this right now in some way. I can feel it, you know. It's just I've got my finger on the pulse of what's going on. And yeah, I've been doing a lot of preaching lately. Sorry if it's getting too preachy, guys. I'm sorry, but I don't know. I can't help myself. Sorry, guys. Catching up to the chat. So much is an odd thing to say. I rarely do it. Some people are only here to derail the chat and be argumentative for no reason. Also, insulting someone is not okay. That's true. Yeah, look, guys, like, if you want to get mad at anyone, get mad at me. If like, people get, like, taken away or silenced or in some way, like, removed from the channel or something like that, you know, like, trust me, I've told my moderators to just not put up with any nonsense. I don't have time for that. When someone starts being unnecessarily loud and annoying and argumentative and just nitpicky or just detracting from the core point in the chat, it ruins everything for everybody. It rage baits everybody. It gets them talking about things that aren't relevant. And I don't get the questions being asked to me that I want asked to me to make the show work either, because everyone's arguing with this weirdo in the chat who suddenly started ranting and raving about something completely irrelevant. And it's kind of, I don't care about that. I'm not interested in that. And it's not good for anybody. So I've told my moderators, if they start being like that, just get rid of them. Done. One and done. I'm not interested in chances. I have given chances to people in the past and let people come back. And it's always bit me on the ass. It's always been a terrible decision, and I should have just trusted my moderators to begin with. I trust them that they know what they are doing. I am not getting involved anymore if they remove somebody. I stand by their choice because they've always been right. Every time I've let somebody back, they've always gone ahead and stabbed me in the back. Even if I did something nice for them, like let them back in, and then they go off and make a horrible post about me on their channel somewhere or something, or start attacking my wife or the moderator somewhere else, or they start accusing me of being something I'm not. And it's like, I literally let you back. I did something nice. I reversed a decision my moderators made. I'm just giving you a chance, and this is what you do, you know? So screw you. You're not welcome. You're not welcome. I'm not interested. I've been doing this too long to put up with that kind of crap. I really have. Like, it's, and half the time, I'm not even sure if these are even real people anymore. I think a lot of them are just bots. I think they're derailment bots who are sent out to purposefully obfuscate and detract and cause problems and cause chaos in the chats. So it's literally a case of, if my moderators ban you, that's their choice. I stand by my staff's decision. That's it. Your case will not be heard. This is a dictatorship round here, if you haven't realized. They aren't being silenced. They can say it on their own channel by all means. Doesn't mean we have to allow their insults over here. Absolutely. That's exactly the point. Do you have any knowledge or experience with the gifted and talented programs for schools, GATE and TAG? I'm aware of it. I'm aware of that. This is a thing that did happen in like the 90s. Where it seems like government programs were being implemented in schools where they were making them do these odd tests involving sound as well to try and seek out the high intelligent people, or perhaps maybe extrasensory people who perhaps had talents that were beyond what we perceive as normal perceptions, looking for those with the sixth sense maybe, or something was going on. It's like they were looking for something. I've heard that's the theory and idea. I've heard people equate it to, if you ever sat in a room with headphones on listening to beeps, you may have been in this program as a kid, because obviously these were children who don't really remember either. And I've heard that as well. And that gets me worried and wondering, because I was in a room with headphones on listening to beeps as a kid at one point. I distinctly remember that. And I asked my mum ages ago, it's like, "Mum, I remember doing these beep tests, where a guy was asking me if I can hear these beeps or not, and I have to press a button while wearing these headphones." It's like, what was that about? And here's me expecting some, like, I have no idea. I don't remember sending you off to do something like that. So I expected a grand conspiracy to unfold. And she said to me, "Well, you kept saying what all the time every time we asked you something." You were like, "What?" We're like, "And we're right next to you, and you know, and we'd always ask you like something very simple. Like, Paul, what do you want for tea?" And you just go, "What?" And you just say what to everything. So we thought you were deaf. So we went to get your ears tested. That's all it was. It's just I was an obstinate, ignorant little so-and-so who wasn't paying attention to my parents. And as a result, they thought I might actually have like a hearing problem. So they went to go and check. Turns out I don't have a problem. I was just being a typical nightmarish 4-year-old or 5-year-old or something. That's all it was. But yeah, I have heard of it. I have heard of it. Paul, I'm very thankful for you. I've learned so much, says Sunfree. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that. It's nice to get compliments every now and then. Paul, what is your take on homesteading and forming more traditional Christian-based communities to counteract agenda?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The 2030 technocratic hell. I'm all for it. That'd be wonderful. It isn't going to happen in the UK because we don't have the land or the permission or any ability to make such a thing happen at all without it being completely shut down immediately. But in America, you guys have a slim chance, and I hope you do try. I hope it happens. I really do. Yeah. Good luck. Best of luck. Keep going with your rants, Paul. I love. Oh, there we go. I will. I will not stop. I know I'm not God. I told Jesus I'm God the day I got saved and he kicked my ass and killed me, says France. Yeah, he'll do that. I've got a $20 donation here. Paul, I just found your channel last week. Dude, life changed. God bless you. Thank you, says Dillionaire Cat. Well, thank you. Thanks for the donation. I appreciate that. I'm glad you like listening to me speak. Thanks. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being here. Talk about cannabis. I heard regulate mood I'm in. Well, I think cannabis can be a good tool for those who need it. A good medicine for those who need it. Absolutely. I think it's a natural herb that can be used in its natural form without the chemicals added or the extreme strains or all that crazy stuff that gets done to the genetically engineered stuff. But in its base form, you know, I think THC and CBD oil have many uses. For joint pain and health and arthritis as well, and also for people with like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, and there's all sorts of things it can be used for to help people who need it. And it's homeopathic and natural and non-invasive, and that's wonderful. Okay, but if you're smoking 5 joints a day for 8 years, that's not medicinal. You're just an addict. Like, I'm sorry, there's a big difference. Okay, you're abusing it. You're not using it. But if it can help people in any way, I would not withhold that from people. That's all. No. I had to do that beat test thing too. Totally forgot about it till now. I was on Ristalin half my life too, and it turned me into a zombie, says Jeff Nugent. Well, Jeff, it looks like you were a part of the gifted and talented extrasensory let's find all the special kids and lock them up and use them for experiments program. Or maybe you were hard of hearing. It's probably one of the two. Paul, would you leave the UK? Any idea where one would go? You know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. You know, my wife, she would pack her bags right now and get on a plane to America if she could. She would. She'd be gone. She'd just be gone. That's it. Forever. We'd all just be swept up and we're off to America and we're out of here. She loves America. I love America. I've been there, you know, and I've met the people, I've talked with the people, and I've lived the life there, and you know, I've driven on your roads and it's okay, you know. Your food's terrible, but I could get used to it, you know. I could figure it out and probably get something healthy somewhere. But yeah, I can see the appeal. The freedoms you guys have there are worlds apart from what we're currently going through. And I get it. Like, yeah, I think if I was to go anywhere, the easiest transition would be to go to America. I could probably do what I do there a lot easier with less fear of repercussion. And I could also probably make a lot more money because of less tax. And I could probably live a good life, have a bigger house because you've got more land and you build everything with wood quicker rather than with brick. So it's less expensive. And it's probably, there probably would be lots of net benefits for me to go into America. There's no language barrier either. So that's probably where I'd go, America, if I was to leave the country. How I would be able to do that, I have no idea. But then at the same time, there is the moral implications of, should I leave the country? And my wife's not going to listen to any of this. She's going to think I'm talking absolute nonsense and I just need to shut up. But do countries get better when all of its best people leave because things got a little bit hard? Or should those people stay and try and make it better and change it back to how it should be by fighting for it? You know, it's a moral thing. This is my land. This is my home. This is where my ancestors were for thousands of years. This is where I am, a native of this island. Okay, this is my ancestral home. Like my roots go deep here. Like my name is literally in the Doomsday Book, 1,000 years old. Stub, you know, it's there. Like I've been here for a long time. We even made a little village in Pontefract in Leeds. There's a road called Stubbs Lane. Like my namesake. It's integrated into this country. Like who I am is I am a product of this land through and through, you know, and I feel it. And I know not everyone does. I do. And I think a lot of it can do with trauma and other things can detach one from feeling any need to maintain a root in a place. It's easy to move to escape certain issues. I get that, you know. But I've been blessed to have actually quite a good life here as a child, you know, and I've suffered, yes, but at the same time I've not had such a terrible life in England that I would want to leave it yet. Maybe something's yet to come, I don't know. I can see things getting very bad very quickly, though. I can see things are getting exponentially worse, and I can see the writing is on the wall that what's coming is going to be absolutely terrifying, if in its worst case scenario. But could we perhaps work towards stopping it from getting that bad? Could we perhaps turn things around? And who's going to do it? Who's going to make things better? But it's not the people who leave, is it? That much is for sure. So I don't know. Part of me also feels like just to keep my family safe, I may have to leave this country at some point. If I can, if it's possible. But that's going to take a lot of time and money and efforts, and you know, it's going to be a painful, long, drawn-out process. But as I explained earlier, if that's what I have to do, I'm sure God will be with me all the way. And it will always work out for the better in the end, whatever happens. That's kind of it, really. That's kind of my take on it right now. I've been thinking about this a lot, like a lot. This is not something I'm doing lightly. You know, I also have this other thing. It's like, I don't want to leave my parents behind. You know, they're getting on. You know, they're on the way to 70. You know, they're in the mid-60s. They've just retired, you know, and it's kind of, I'm sure they'll be around for a while, but we're verging on it's time to start looking after them territory, you know. And at the same time, I don't want to necessarily put my whole life on hold, and I can always move back when it gets to that, if I did move out of the country. But then I have this thing in me, this sense of duty. It's kind of like I've got to be here for that. But it's funny because, like, I'm not so sure they wouldn't leave the country for me. If they could just move to Spain and live out the rest of their life in Tenerife, soaking up the sun and going to karaoke bars and whatever and cabaret. I'm sure they would, you know, and they wouldn't think about me. Well, what about Paul back at home in England? I really don't think it's just that generation. I just don't think they care. It's kind of like it's their life. They're going to do what they want to do. And maybe I should be less selfish, more selfish and think like that too, you know, but it's just the way I am. Like I struggle to do that. I really do struggle to, and sometimes it's to my own detriment. It really is, like, so I do wonder, honestly, I do. It's these are hard questions I don't have answers to, and I'm sure you guys can't really give me answers to either. And these are probably things a lot of people are thinking about and having problems with and have had problems with, and maybe this is just part of life, you know. Sunny Ferriera says, don't come to Canada, it's terrible. And it's okay, I have no intention of going to another place that has the crown over it. Like, absolutely not, you know? So openly, shall we say. Did Danny L ask a question? Did I miss something there? Sorry, Danny, I'm not ignoring your questions. I'm just talking, and I've not been tracking the chat. I'm sorry. We all know you're just a capable patch baby. I don't know what that means. Paul, was I hallucinating? I saw a black cloud over my house in the middle of the night. It was stationary, but changing shape. I sensed evil. I prayed the name of Jesus, and it moved away instantly. I don't know if you were hallucinating or not. Probably not. I think the veil is thinning daily, and I think we're seeing more and more of this crazy stuff in the sky. I think everyone is, to be honest. I advocate you just walk in the spirit, a map, and God will lead you where he wants. Side note, I think you'd love West Virginia. It's funny because my wife has been talking about going to Virginia, of all places. She actually has been arguing Virginia. Like, it's no, she's telling you right there, I've been arguing Virginia because I lived there before. Yeah, that does seem like a nice place to live. It really does, looking at it. New England is too far north. It's too much like English weather. I'd like to go a bit further to the equator if I could. If I had a choice. But not too far where it gets too hot. Like, I don't want Florida weather. I just don't want that. Have I been blocked? You've completely ignored my comments for 2 months. Not sure why or why I did, says Danielle. No, honestly, Danielle, no. Honestly, I've seen your name around. I'm sorry if you think I'm ignoring your comments. I'm really not. That's not what I'm doing. No, I appreciate you. You've been here a long time. I know who you are. You're like a known entity to me, and I appreciate you. Brother, we still have some nice rural areas in the southeast, Florida, Alabama. Nice and quiet. West Virginia is a different state, brother. It's better. Okay, fair enough. That region of America is where I'd probably like to go. I was looking at north of the Ozarks the other day, because that's where Biochrism is. Christopher, and he was telling me about it. And I was looking there, and I was like, this looks really nice. This looks really nice. I think I might be looking into it. It's more central-ish. North, yeah, I don't know what the state is right now. I'm losing it. But yeah, the whole all of America has some beautiful places to live. Don't get me wrong. I've seen some amazing places. Sadly,
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping, and this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I have the feeling we aren't going to be able to escape any of this. Perhaps postpone being subjected to it, but not escape it. Says Heavy Metal Rehab. Yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, God is in control, and I think God will turn a bad situation around for the better if we show enough faith and you know, bring a nation to him. I think he'll change his mind and save it. You know, I think he can. I think we can postpone judgment, definitely. I can tell you one thing, Paul, we all have questions. This is a confusing thing that we know. Nothing but questions sometimes. Tennessee is very nice, similar climate, and has better politics laws on the books than Virginia. I was literally about to ask if anyone was from Tennessee, because I've looked there too. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard Tennessee is quite good for like home educating as well. Is that right? The only areas still affordable are the ones nobody wants to live in. I can believe that too, yeah. Tennessee has some amazing mountains. Paul, I feel the same way about my home as you feel about Britain. My family has lived in San Francisco Bay Area for the last 200 years. It's harder and harder to find a reason to stay. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when you feel that connection to the land, you know, and honestly, where I live in the Northwest, like, it's hard to see why I even have a connection or feel a kinship with this land, because it's falling apart. It's decaying. It's horrible. It's a typical Northwestern working class city, you know, town. And it's just decaying. It's getting worse and worse. And it's so sad because you look down these streets, these paths, these old parts of town, you know. And the buildings are designed so with so much love and beauty in that old stonework, you know. But they're just decrepit and boarded up and decaying with like weeds growing in the cracks. And they've had like signs placed over the front of them made of plastic and cheap neon selling. They've all become Turkish barber shops or kebab houses or Polish like markets or just something like cheap and tacky has been thrown over there and temporary, probably a front for money laundering half the time, you know, and like bet shops and stuff like this. And you look up at the facade and you see this old beautiful building of, and you look at the street and you think of the time, like maybe 100, 200, 150 years ago, what this street would have really been, a place of community that people took pride in that looked amazing. And now it's just this decrepit second world looking place. And that's happening a lot in my town and my city. And there's still places that are beautiful here. And when you get to a high elevated spot and you just look out at the trees and the spires coming out over the top of the churches everywhere, and you see the greenery and you think for a moment, this actually does look beautiful, you know, amongst the mills and the rest of it. But when you get down to the ground and you walk in the streets between those trees and the roads and you look around, it's like, this place is falling apart. It's, you get glimpses of what it used to be. And I have this yearning to live in that time of when it used to be like that, you know, I can't help it. But there's also the atmosphere here. There's something about the air. There's something about the water. There's something about the color of the sunset here. It's different. It's different than the rest of the world. And when I've been away from home for long periods of time and then come back to it, I see it. I see the color differences. The trees here are a richer, darker green than everywhere else. There's something about it to me, like in Lancashire, that just, it's home and it's rich and it's powerful. There's something about, I don't know, I can't understand it. It's beyond reason, but I love it. And yeah, that's all I can really say about where I live. Like, and I think other people feel this about their own home, I'm sure. And it's hard. It's just hard for me. It's hard for me to imagine letting it go. I don't know what it is. I want to fight for it. Like, I want to. Like, and I can't help that. Heartland theory territory. No coincidence you'd want to be there. Ojibwe, Mormons, Hartuk, etc. A lot of the North American component is surfacing at the end. I'm not sure what that means, Sailor Boy Troy, but thanks for the donation. Paul, I feel the same way about the home as you feel about Britain. Michigan is pretty. Being surrounded by lakes during the summer is nice, but winter is yucky. Yeah, winters can be harsh in some places of America, can't they? And then you've got tornadoes ripping through some places as well. Like, that's... No, thank you. No, thank you. Tesco's in every corner. Yeah, we get that too. Yeah, or Londis or Spar or something. Or this would make no sense to Americans what I'm saying here, you know. But yeah, yeah, or a one stop. I have a paid off 4-bedroom house here. Your family is always welcome. No rent necessary. If you need a place, just to transition, save money. I'm only home one day a week usually. Well, Hugh, dude, I might take you up on that offer one day. Like, if it comes to it, be careful what you offer. Maybe I hate Lancashire so much because I'm from Yorkshire. Yeah, that's right. The wife is from Yorkshire. Like, what's she doing around these parts? She doesn't belong here. She's just as Lancashire as the rest of us now. She doesn't even sound like she's from Yorkshire anymore. It's really nice around the Ozarks. Yeah, yeah, it looked good from what I saw in the pictures. More green there, probably because more rain. I'd like to visit there. I'm in Indiana, Indianapolis. Oh yeah, it is. It's where we live. This is why people like, this is why it's hard to explain why I love Lancashire so much. It's wet. It's cold. It's grey overcast most of the time. Okay. It looks miserable and moody from every angle, but at the same time, I kind of like that. It makes strong people. It makes good people. It makes people who find joys in the little things in life more so. I find it makes people lighten up because it's already so dark. It's something about it, like, it may be raining and cold and grey and miserable, but it's still home. It's our home. It's our grey, miserable, cold home. You know, this is our rain. But because it does rain so much, the trees flourish. They are healthy. And it's lovely. I like seeing it, you know. And when summer does come around and it is sunny for about 3 days, it's glorious. The place looks incredible. And it counts. It matters to me. First time anyone's pronounced my username right. Must be a sign, says Hugh, dude. Yeah, well, yeah, you know. It's a special place. We have a small clack wall garage that could be coverage right under three picking trees. I love it. Block wall, not my home. Lancashire Hot Pots. Yeah, they're a band. If anyone doesn't know, there's a band called the Lancashire Hot Pots, which I suppose is what we're one export we might be famous for now, but a lot of good comedians have come from the northwest of England, actually, a lot. But they do make some funny songs about stereotypical Lancashire life. It's really quite funny. I suppose it wouldn't be funny to you if you weren't from Lancashire, in a way. Right, has anyone got any questions, you know, just about conspiracy? Or are we just going to talk about our homes and our countries? Argentina has a great passport and only takes 2 years in a country to get it. Interesting. I've become an Argentinian. Hi from New Zealand, says Delboy. Thanks for being here. Tennessee has the most beautiful blue skies. We come down from the north where the skies are hazy and streaking, gloomy all winter. It's like 1985. Let me just quickly connect here. I've always wanted to visit England. I have great grandparents that were born there. I think a lot of Americans have a very romanticized image of England. And obviously, when you talk about England, you describe it as Europe. Like, I'm going to go visit Europe. And we don't see it that way here. We do not consider ourselves like a part of Europe necessarily. They are not a thought to us. The French, like, we don't have to do with those people. And then Germans are just creepy. And we're not, I'm joking. This is jokes. Okay. We're having a laugh here. But yeah, British people really don't. We don't romanticize our homeland a lot like other people do, because we understand the problems we have here. But if you just come to look at the pretty castles and stuff like that, then yeah, I imagine it's quite easy to have this view of England as this, I don't know, this historical place, which it is in many ways. Maybe we take it for granted because we're just in it. But England has some serious issues. And you may be extremely disappointed when you actually get to these places. by what's going on in your environment. So taper your expectations if you're planning on visiting this country is what I'll say. What's with the northern lights? They were red instead of green, like always, and visible down to Florida. Tried to point it out to people, but it's not normal. But I took it as an omen. Yeah, well, the thing is, the more intense, I think, the electromagnetic frequency that causes them is from, they say, the sun spitting out energy, you know, and solar flares, the redder it gets, I think. The higher energy, the higher frequency, the redder it starts to get. So they could argue that it was just a very powerful solar flare that caused it to go so far down to the equator and be so powerful. I'm not so sure, though. I'm not so sure based on the enclosed model system. I mean, it could be that there is just more electromagnetic frequency and power happening right now emanating from the center. And we're just seeing the signs of that and the reasonings. We don't really know. We don't understand. There's things going on we don't understand. But it could also be that they are doing that with their weather control. And they were just testing something. That could be the case, too. What do you think about the phenomena concerning Gen Z rethinking the figure of Adolf H? Part of the plan to ultimately crack down on any possible conspiracy or concern against a certain ethnicity? Yeah, I think the mass noticing and Nazi sympathy right now is definitely some kind of like double-edged sword ploy, double blind, got your trick, catch all net system to shut it down. Oy vey. I think that's what's going on. Something's happening right now, because you should not be able to talk about half the things that are being talked about on these platforms. But they're letting it happen right now. They're letting it happen, definitely. And it cannot be good. I mean, we're probably already on a list somewhere, don't get me wrong, but I think they're making a very specific list right now, and we need to be careful. Tucker Carlson interviewed Piers Morgan a few days ago. It felt like Tucker was trying to get people upset or stoke the fire. Maybe, but Piers Morgan is a terrible human being, as far as I'm aware. who's basically a clickbait charlatan who makes stuff up and has been for all his life, who keeps failing upwards through the system of the mainstream news here in the UK. He was a Rupert Murdoch stooge from the very beginning, and I think he's always been used as a useful tool to downplay or stoke or generate income from people's insecurities, which is tends to be what he does. And for what I saw glimpses of the talk with Tucker Carlson, I did glance over it quickly and listen to a few things. Piers Morgan himself seemed to be ignoring a lot of the points Tucker was bringing up and just not confronting them or you know, dealing with the reality of the situation, because he's a millionaire who lives in the middle of like the whitest place in Kensington. Like, and the problems of mass immigration are not his problems. He's in a bubble, you know. So, but at the same time, Tucker Carlson does his thing, doesn't he? And I think he tends to he has a role to play, perhaps. I don't know. Or maybe he's had a change of heart and he's out of the system. Who really knows? I mean, God knows people's hearts. And I've never been one to like point fingers and say they're a shill under any circumstances. I just don't do it because I don't know. You cannot know such things. You can have your guard up, sure. Just be careful. I think a lot of people are just ignorant or dumb and don't know what they're a part of half the time, or believe things that they don't realize are controlled. Those who know. Are actually a lot fewer than we think sometimes too. And we just have to be so careful. We have to be so careful because we don't want to make enemies out of friends either. And the natural paranoia and mistrust that comes with being in this game is actually one of our biggest weaknesses, not necessarily our biggest strength too. So I think we do have to be careful, but I don't know what he was trying to stoke. But a lot of truths were pointed out in that talk too about the state of England. It wasn't all just saying things to rile people up. Death Eagle says, you really know your shit and I super appreciate your content now. Was hoping we could be cool now. By the way, my name is Julian Bennett. When were we not cool, Death Eagle? Were we not cool at some point? You're going to have to enlighten me on what that's about. I'm glad you're back on board. Welcome back. Hey, Paul, have you checked out the work of Christopher Sparks and his Bible Keys to the Kingdom, especially regarding Satan, meaning the adversary, hell being mistranslated for the grave. I've heard of Christopher Sparks a while ago, but I haven't really looked too much into his work. I know he's writing his own Bible, though. I do know that much. They lifted the censors. I get that feeling too, says Pepe Silva. I think so. Something weird's happening, and I've touched on this a lot. I think I'm about to make a more specific video pointing this out so people understand, like, look, this is suspect as hell, guys. Pay attention. Why do Brits have bad teeth? Half joking. Oh, we do. I mean, if you look at mine, on here, it's crooked. It's gone behind the rest, and the rest have kind of gone to one side. I didn't get braces as a kid. My mother just never bothered. Because they thought, it's fine, it's not going to cause many problems, you know. And by the time by the time they were even offered to me, I was 16, which is kind of late for braces. So they were like, do you even want them? They gave me the choice. I was like, nah, it's fine, whatever. And now I'm getting older, I'm thinking of getting Invisalign just to straighten this bit up. And I have yellow teeth because I was a smoker for like 13 years. And I do like to drink, well, I did drink a lot of red wine, so I think my teeth got stained. I don't really drink much anymore. My teeth are just permanently stained, unfortunately. They had a cleaning not that long ago, and they were a bit whiter, but that seems to be disappearing again now. But we do tend to have bad teeth, but your dental system in America is a lot more efficient than ours. Ours is based on the NHS, which is the free health National Health Service. And obviously it's overburdened and appointments are rare. Every 6 months you get a checkup, you know, and even then it's 10 minutes. And if you are getting put in for something like a surgery, you can wait in list for months and months and months or years. So it's just so inefficient that people's teeth fall out and they're just rotten, they're bad. And they don't take preventative measures because of the system's free. So in America, for example, you get your wisdom teeth taken out to avoid any future problems with flare-ups and pain. They don't do that in England. They'll offer to take them out once you're in pain. So there's a difference, you know. In America, they would, at early age, get you on a palate expander to make sure your teeth have enough gaps as baby teeth. So when your adult teeth come in, they come in straight with enough room to fill the space. In England, they'll just hope for the best. And if there is a problem, then we'll deal with it. That's how it's done here. So as a result, I suppose our dental hygiene, medical, whatever you want to call it, is not quite the same to or up to the same standard. I'm part British and have bad teeth too. Maybe it's just in the genes. What can I say? You told me about parasites and Nephilim and wasn't as deep in the rabbit hole, and I kind of laughed you off. So I just wanted to apologize, that's all. Right, yeah, fair enough. Well, you've caught up now. Welcome to the club. You're one of us now. A trick I learned to deal with the enemies is to tell them to do... You do not consent to what evil they want to do to you. Karmic retribution and all that. Interesting point. In practice, I hope that works, but you're playing with fire there. You're kind of like saying, come at me, bro. He's kind of saying, go on, try it, see what happens. Do you have any idea on the 5G? I can't really talk about those things. Last I checked. Last time I did mention those particular things, I did get a strike. So it's one of those. I'm not sure if that was like a year or 2 years ago now. So I'm not sure if that's been laxed on yet. I'm not willing to test that right now, so I can't talk about that, Franz, but maybe I'll make a Patreon video about that instead or something so we can get that talked about. They say all your teeth are linked to different organs somehow and you shouldn't actually get wisdom teeth removed. I've heard that. I have not got mine removed, but they do cause me extreme problems every now and then with agony and pain, I'm not going to lie. Do dentists over there use fluoride? Yes, they do. You can refuse it, though. Weston Price Foundation says our modern diet has ruined the bone structure of our jaws and thereby ruined our teeth and caused all this crowding and need for braces, etc. Yeah, you're supposed to eat tougher, crunchier things as well and tougher things to chew on, and that causes the palate to expand naturally. That's true. A lot of our food is a lot softer these days. Right, guys, I've been going for like 1 hour 36 minutes. I think we're railing off into odd tangents now. I think I'm going to stop there. It is late for me, to be fair, though. It is actually 20 to 1 in the morning, so I'm going to have to stop here. We had a good time. We had a nice Q&A. It was nice to catch up with you all. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to me ramble on and talk for a little bit about all the things that are on my mind and personally. I am back on Sunday with the Truth of Therapy sessions. I am getting a guest on. He's going to share his journey and what he's up to and some things about Australia and what's going on over there right now and the history and the hidden history. And that's going to be an interesting conversation. And on Friday, I'll probably release one of these interviews I've been doing too, just so there's something there for you to sink your teeth into. But yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. If you want to get a signed copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, there is currently £10 off the original price. So it will be £40 for paperback, £50 for hardcover. And that'll be a signed copy from yours truly, sent from this office directly. If you're interested in getting that offer for this batch, it will end by the end of December. But yeah, email me if you're interested, guys, or email me if you want to say anything at all. But that's me, guys. Thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.